Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, March 19th, 5:25 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets mixed to lower this morning. May corn futures unchanged at 4:36. May soybeans down 1.5 at 11.86 1/4. May Chicago wheat down 2 3/4 at 5:40. May Kansas City wheat down 0.25 at 5.73 1/2. May spring wheat unchanged at 6:50 3/4. We've got a potential rain event coming next week that could be a big deal.
So we could see widespread rainfall develop across the U.S. Corn Belt. Large areas of Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Missouri have been impacted by a long-standing drought. Areas of Illinois, Kansas, Nebraska, and North Dakota have also been impacted. This morning's forecast suggests that widespread rains will hit large sections of these areas during the 5 to 7 day period, so Sunday through Tuesday of next week. Weather forecasts, of course, are subject to change.
Always subject to change. The forecasts are usually good, 4 or 5 days out at best. So this is a rain event that is a potential rain event that is supposed to begin Sunday next week and then maybe last 4 or 5 days, whatever, who knows. Here's the drought map of the Midwest and in the Corn Belt, but your Illinois and Iowa, your drought-stricken areas in particular. You've got that bright red area of Northeast Iowa that's been hugely problematic, but really it's the whole state of Iowa. It's a lot of Missouri, southern part of Illinois, all of Minnesota, a lot of Wisconsin. There's other areas too. I just kind of zoomed in on this. So when you look at when this is supposed to occur, the Euro for the next 5 days is very dry. And then it introduces all these rains beginning really like Sunday next week. To zoom in on what exactly is expected, that super dry pocket in Iowa, the Euro says 2.5 inches of rain in total over the next 10 days. And most of that will be again in the back half of that 10-day forecast. Southern Minnesota, especially that southeast portion, could see similar amounts. A lot of Wisconsin could see similar amounts, lesser amounts in Missouri and into Illinois. But this could be a big deal. This could be a big deal. Been a lot of drought talk. Is the timing ideal? Not necessarily. A lot of guys would like to start planting corn and soybeans here the next couple of weeks. And if it decides to turn wet all of a sudden, is the timing ideal? I don't know. You guys let me know what you think. Drop me a comment in the YouTube video here. And I mean, would you rather have the rain, even though the timing's bad? I don't know. And to really call this a drought buster, I'm going to title the video something about drought busting rain event today. But for it to really be a drought buster, you need this and then some. Like this one rain event in a vacuum probably doesn't solve all of your drought problems, but it's a start, and you know, it's not even a guarantee. I guess we'll have some updates on this as this event approaches.
Brazil's soybean harvest continues to progress. According to well-followed private group Ag Rural, 63% of Brazil's soybean crop had been harvested as of last Thursday. At this time last year, 62% of the crop had been harvested. Ag Rural also reported that the planting of Brazil's second corn crop is almost finished. As of last week, 97% of the crop had been planted, up from 91% during the same period last year. As planting draws to a close, concerns about the hot, dry weather are increasing.
Still got a lot of debate regarding the size of Brazil's soybean crop. You got this USDA versus CONAB debate that's ongoing. USDA is much higher than CONAB. As it relates to weather, the second corn crop is now going to be your bigger concern, given that soybean harvest is ongoing. We're wrapping up the growing season there. The forecast, especially the 5 to 10 day, is very wet and maybe even too wet for a lot of these second corn areas. They need the rain. It had been hot and dry. So I think that the rain is going to be welcome. Could it be too wet? I don't know. But I don't see a weather threat here right now. When it comes to corn production, USDA has got Brazil at 124 million metric tons. That would put them as the third largest corn producer in the world, which is pretty normal. CONAB's lower. I think they're actually drastically lower, somewhere in the teens. So still got USDA versus CONAB debates here. But that's when it comes to weather in South America, I think that Brazil and this second corn crop is going to be the thing that we pay attention to moving forward.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about yesterday's video?
I talked about this video yesterday. It was blasted out yesterday. Carbon scoring, questions answered. I was joined by Mitchell Hora. He's a farmer in Iowa who's heavily invested into the carbon scoring space. His business is essentially doing carbon scoring for farmers. He was on for 47 minutes of uninterrupted questions regarding carbon scoring, tax credits, sustainable aviation fuel, carbon sequestration. What do farmers need to be doing? This was a hugely popular video. I would strongly suggest that if you're a corn grower anywhere in the Corn Belt that you watch this video, sign up for the premium deal this morning, and I will forward you a copy of this morning's email, which includes that video along with a whole bunch of other stuff. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. There's no other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. Remember, guys, we don't have any sponsors. We don't have any corporate backing. Everything that we do here, the podcast, YouTube, is brought to you by premium subscribers. So premium subs, we love you to death. If you're not a premium sub, you should absolutely check that deal out this morning.
For the first time since early January, Russian wheat export prices rose last week. Russia exported 930,000 metric tons of wheat last week, down almost 10% from the prior week. According to Russia's Ministry of Agriculture, spring planting is twice as fast as last year due to a lack of precipitation. The lack of moisture is also causing concern for spring crops.
Mackenzie, have you ever seen Vegas Vacation?
Yes.
Movie. So you know what? Clark's sitting at the table and he loses like a million hands in a row. And then finally it's a push. He goes, I didn't lose.
Yeah.
That's like what this is. Like finally we didn't lose. That being said, Russian wheat is still much, much cheaper than what we can offer here out of the United States. So it's still a problem, but maybe some light at the end of the tunnel here. I don't know. Russia's just been, the quote is flooding the globe with cheap wheat. And I think that's going to continue.
U.S. corn shipments increased last week. USDA reported that 49 million bushels of corn were inspected for export during the week ending March 14th. The print was up 6.2% from the previous week and up 1.1% compared to the same week last year. Soybean shipments were soft at 25 million bushels. The print declined 13% versus the prior week and was down 4.7% compared to the same week last year. Wheat shipments were reported at 11 million bushels, down 35% from the previous week and down 19% versus the same week last year.
So we're now into primetime corn shipping season. Primetime soybean shipping season is mostly behind us. I think that you can make a case that USDA may need to come down slightly with their export projection for soybeans. With wheat, we've got a lot of unshipped bushels, especially to China, and we've only got, 10 weeks left in the marketing year. I think there is some concern that China could cancel additional U.S. wheat purchases. That's a possibility. Corn, we were better than the same week last year, but USDA has got a much higher export projection pegged in here. So USDA could be, I don't know, I think they're probably fair with their corn export projection as it stands right now.
Oil prices climbed to a four-month high on Monday. WTI crude closed at its highest level since October, gaining 2.1% to settle at $82.72 per barrel. The increase was partly due to an unexpected rise in Chinese investment and factory production during January and February. Recent Ukrainian drone strikes on Russian refineries have also boosted oil prices. A rise in gasoline futures, which have reached a six-month high, is seen as a bullish factor behind crude prices. Additionally, a reduction in crude supply by OPEC Plus members has raised concerns over a supply deficit this year.
The crude oil market has been, I mean, you got to say mostly sideways-ish since fourth quarter of 22, in a pretty big range, in a $25 range. So we're kind of in the middle of that range here at 82 and a half bucks. We have come up $19 or about 30% from the low that was posted in May of 2023, which was $64. This weekly chart looks kind of head and shoulder-ish to me, which would be bearish if that pattern were confirmed, and it is not. So I don't know, is this enough to lift grain prices or lift corn prices? We've seen that over the years where if you get a big enough move in crude, it can help the commodity complex in general. I don't think we're there yet. You look at the Bloomberg index and it's trending sideways to lower. We're not that far removed from the lows that were posted just 2-3 weeks ago. The target weights on this Bloomberg commodity index, if you guys are not watching, it's 30% energies, 23% grains, 15% industrial metals, 19% precious metals, 7% softs, 5% livestock. Those are rounded numbers. I don't know if that adds to 100 or not, but it's close. So I don't know. The rally in crude and some of these other commodities has not been enough to move the needle in terms of the broader commodity index. Not yet.
U.S. Treasury yields increased marginally on Monday ahead of the Federal Reserve's March meeting this week. The 10-year Treasury yield increased by 3 basis points to 4.33%, and the 2-year Treasury yield gained 1 basis point to climb to 4.73%. The Fed will meet today and tomorrow and is likely to hold interest rates steady. At the conclusion of its meeting, the Fed is anticipated to provide insight into when rates will be cut and how many rate cuts we can expect this year. The markets are predicting a 58% chance that rates will be cut at the Fed's June meeting.
Yeah, and then there's an even higher chance that you see a cut by July, 77% chance by July. If you look at the yield on the 10-year Treasury, we've done nothing but trend higher since the zero COVID rate environment that we saw in 2020, 4.3%. We were as high as 4.9 in the 10-year. When you peel this back and look at history, 4.3 is still pretty low for the 10-year Treasury, but it kind of looks as if this bear trend in interest rates, which this was a bear trend for 40 years, it looks like that may be out the window, at least for the time being. I don't know. A lot of people think that the Fed's going to have to cut for a number of reasons later this year, and that maybe this Fed fund rate will eventually be back down to 2-3%. I don't know, but we got a long ways to go. What did cattle do yesterday?
They were higher. Feeders were an average of 240 higher. Live cattle closed an average of $1.38 higher. Box beef continues to climb. Choice ended the day at 313.33. That was up $1.43. And select ended the day at 303.05. That was up 65 cents.
Outside markets, U.S. dollars up a little bit. Stocks are a little bit lower. Bonds are up a little bit. Crude oil is down this morning, down 20 cents in the May WTI at 81.95. I'm on vacation the rest of the week, so Mackenzie's going to be on with Brian and Matt the next 3 days. Everybody have a good one. Talk to you a little bit later.